holds a JD, PhD, and PH, and is currently the executive director at AIDS Project East Bay, which is the community partner of this collaborative project. He'll be speaking today on the program and the title of the talk, Stay Healthy, Stay Strong, and then Intervention Study.
Thank you. So let me start with a disclaimer, which is that you'll notice that Dr. Eversley's name is above mine. She's actually the person who should have presented today. She's not well. I did not get her slide set, so you're stuck with mine. So the project, this Stay Healthy, Stay Strong project, arose from a few things that were occurring at AIDS Project of the East Bay. AIDS Project of the East Bay is a 30-year-old, almost 30 years old, 29 this year, AIDS service agency in Oakland, just across the bridge from us here in San Francisco. And we primarily serve African Americans of all stripes, and our largest subpopulation, of course, are African American MSM. And AIDS Project of the East Bay certainly has a history with MSM because we come out of the LGBT community. We were established as a program of an LGBT center and then spun off into our own entity. So we were seeing anecdotally at AIDS Project of the East Bay very high levels of depression and substance abuse among African-American men who have sex with men, particularly HIV-positive African-American men who have sex with men. And what I mean by anecdotally is that's what our case managers were reporting. And when we looked into it through with the help of Dr. Eversley, who is a professor at UCSF, it also seemed that the literature suggested, and I do have literature citations if folks are interested in that I can provide, the literature seemed to substantiate higher levels of depression and substance use among HIV-positive people generally, but certainly among African-American HIV-positive men who have sex with men in particular. And we decided to do a small survey of our clients at AIDS Project of the East Bay, not just our MSM clients, but all of our clients, to see what the levels of depression were. And so we used the PHQ-9 because it was very easy to administer, a very quick survey. It's not necessarily the most robust instrument that you can use, but we wanted something that was not terribly invasive and that was quick and easy, down and dirty, and found, in fact, very high levels of depression among all of our, across all of our categories of HIV-positive clients, and particularly among African-American men who have sex with men. And that all led us to think that we needed to do something. At the same time that that was happening, APEB had an opportunity to become one of the major partners in a collaborative with UCSF CAPS, the Center for AIDS Prevention Studies, which is NIH-funded. And that project is designed to foster community-based participatory research in the East Bay, focusing on HIV and African Americans. And as a result of that, our involvement in that project, we actually were able to make this intervention study come to life. The goals of ARC, which I couldn't resist telling you about, are to develop a consortium of academic researchers and community-based researchers, both affiliated with CBOs and non-affiliated, to try to come up with new ways of doing research that plumbed the wisdom and the knowledge and the experience of the community a little better than has been plumbed to date. And of course, it's to increase the capacity of the members to engage in that research, so we do a fair amount of training of community members in research, to develop an electronic infrastructure for the delivery of that kind and for the sustaining of that kind of research, and to stimulate and develop innovative research by providing funding. And it's this pilot funding that was able to allow us to undertake the study that I'm talking about today. So AIDS Project and Dr. Eversley, we put together a design and we wrote a small grant application, and we were successful in getting funded to do this study. Dr. Eversley, as it happens, and I think this is really important from a CBPR point of view, has a long history of working with AIDS Project of the East Bay. I certainly have a long history of working with her, even with other agencies that I've been at. And so it was very easy for us to come together on this new phenomena that we were seeing at AIDS Project of the East Bay to try to do something about it. So the study goals for this particular project, the Stay Healthy, Stay Strong project, is to examine the relationship between depression, substance abuse, sexual risk-taking, and treatment adherence. Because we are worried, of course, that some of the activities that our participants engage in might be interfering with their treatment adherence and therefore with their health, ultimately. And we're very interested to think about ways, if in fact that's happening, to think about ways to interdict that particular problem and support people in their treatment adherence and therefore in their health outcomes. We're also developing an intervention that is designed to help folks in their self-care, so to help them manage their depression if they have depression, to help them manage their substance abuse from a harm reduction point of view, and to help them to sort of immunize them against sexual risk-taking, and through all of those things, hopefully, to strengthen their treatment adherence. And of course, the study will not only be involved in designing the intervention, but also in testing the feasibility and acceptability of the study. I'm saying all of this in the future tense because, unfortunately, one of the things we ran into, as I'll talk about, is lots of IRB challenges. And so it took us a very long time to get this project off the ground. Our methodology is to involve some 8 to 10 African-American MSM in a pre-intervention focus group. We're actually going to have two separate focus groups. And to use the data that we collect from that to help in the design of the project. We will test the measures that we've identified, and I'll tell you what those measures are, with the pre-intervention focus group, and we'll recruit 30 individuals and randomly assign them both to the treatment group and to a control group, and the control group will receive our standard care, medical care and case management, where, of course, the treatment group will receive the Stay Healthy, Stay Strong intervention. The measures that we're using are in four domains, and so we're looking, of course, at demographics and background, age, sexual orientation, education, income, occupation, work status, legal issues, criminal histories, incarceration histories. We're looking at depression symptoms, and we'll use the CESDR for that. We're looking at substance use, and we'll use the drug and alcohol use amount and frequency measures found in the Addiction Severity Index. And we're looking at medication and medical use adherence, and we'll use the treatment self-efficacy scale and the Adherence Baseline Questionnaire Center for those. So, I mean, we're using pre-existing instruments in everything except, of course, the demographics and background. The SHSS intervention comes out of three areas. One is, of course, the published literature on HIV self-care as a chronic disease, but the other two are problem-solving therapy and cognitive behavioral therapy. And in terms of the structure of the intervention, weeks 1 and 2 are introduction and overview, monitoring of emotions and self-care, identifying stressors and individuals' usual responses to those stressors, and introduces stress reduction exercises that might help folks with some other ways of coping with stressors. Week 3 and 4 will review triggers for adverse emotions, review triggers for substance abuse, and introduce participants to problem-solving therapy. And in weeks 3 and 4, individuals will develop a self-care plan for themselves. Weeks 5 and 6 will look at, again, triggers for substance use and reactions. And again, what we're hoping to do is sort of in each successive set of activities reinforce what has gone before. Review alternate management of emotion strategies, review problem-solving strategies, discuss the relationship between stress and depression, discuss the relationship between adherence and treatment, discuss the importance of nutrition and exercise as a stress coping strategy, and offer community resources for recovery for those who are interested in that. And then week 7 and 8, the last 2 weeks, will again review triggers, check in regarding medical adherence and problem solving, discuss sex and drugs and how those are connected, and work with folks on risk reduction triggers. Risk reduction strategies. So we're hoping that package of services and skills will actually strengthen folks in terms of not just their medical adherence, but their ability to self-care around substance abuse and sexual risk-taking and even depression. In terms of findings, we only just received our IRB approval, and so we're in the process of conducting our pre-intervention focus groups. Our informal canvassing of men's groups, and we have men's groups at the agency, suggests to us a relationship between binge substance use, high-risk sex, and the interruption of heart treatment. So our men are reporting that, in fact, there's a connection between sex and drug use, substance use, and that there's a connection in the case of binge substance use between interruption of treatment and binge use of substances. And so we'll be testing that, of course, because it's just anecdotal at this point. We'll be testing that in the course of our study. And likewise, our informal canvassing of both men's groups and individuals suggests a relationship between depression and substance use, so that folks, it would seem, are actually self-medicating for their depression with their substance use. And again, we will be testing that connection. And here's our contact information. Essentially, I guess the upshot of this is stay tuned, because we hope to have, of course, more significant findings as we move forward.